It's time for another Steve Dale Petcast, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years. Now, here's Steve Dale.
Oh, I'm so excited to be doing these Petcasts again. And I tell you, I get the best guest when it comes to the pet world. That is for certain. I mean, the people we have coming up, you will be amazed. I mean, truly, these are people that even teach veterinarians about things. And one of those folks is on the phone right now. The book is called For the Love of Dog. If you haven't heard the name Pilly Bianchi, you probably have heard her dad's name or maybe the name of her dog. Pilly, why am I saying that and setting it up this way?
Because that's sort of the way, that's sort of correct.
So tell me about...
She was my dad's dog, but, you know, she was a family dog.
Well, we're talking about a dog named Chaser, but explain why we're talking about Chaser and why we're talking about your dad.
Well, Chaser was my father's dog that he got when he was 76 years old, and she was not only his family pet, but she was his research partner. He had the goal of teaching her human language, one that had eluded him in his Wofford classroom for almost 20 years with other dogs. And at 76 years old, he knew where he had gotten it wrong. And boy, he was right. He was able to teach Chaser the names of over 1,000 objects.
Now, I don't even know that I know the names of over 1,000 objects. And most of those objects were dog toys. And if, you know, because I know from experience, I mean, we used to watch a dog who knew the names of, I don't know, 40 or 50 toys, which is impressive, I thought. 1,000? I mean, that's crazy. But the owner, when we would watch the dog, had to write down the names of the toys because, Lord knows, we didn't remember the names of all these toys.
No. We couldn't possibly remember the names of the toys. And a couple of times we kept getting them wrong. And Chaser would hover over the toy, and we thought that she wouldn't take the toy. And I realized that we were calling it the wrong name. So she remembered the names where we did not. And what was remarkable about the way she learned these names, and usually in all dogs with their toys, is they don't have any associative value other than the fact that they love them and they get to play with them. Like, we know that Santa Claus comes down the chimney at Christmas and he gives us gifts, so we learn his name. Or we know SpongeBob lives in a pineapple under the sea, but dogs don't have this associative marker when they're learning the names of objects. It's rote memorization.
But it is a different marker in a way, because it is something that they enjoy, so they pair.
Exactly.
The name of the toy. So here's the bottom line question. I'll start here. Can people do this? Maybe not 1,000, but can people have their dogs learn more than what their dogs know now? I'm talking about not your dog, not Chaser, the Border Collie, and Border Collies in of itself. I mean, they're brilliant. I had a Border Collie once do my income taxes. You know, I mean, that's how smart they are. You know, so the average dog, are our expectations too low for what our dogs can do? And then what is, if the answer is yes, I suspect it is, explain why and what the advantage would be of teaching our dogs more.
Wow, that's such an important question, and it's one that we have overlooked for so many years. The value of teaching your dog the names of objects is that dogs are always listening. And once they, you don't have to teach your dog the names of 1,000 objects. You just have to teach them a few names where they have that aha moment where it clicks in their brains that, oh, we're pairing the name of an object with an object. This object has a name. And so what this is, it's conceptual understanding that people have names, objects have names. And if we can keep it very simple in the beginning, this is going to be the start of a process where learning builds upon learning. The more your dog learns, the more they can learn. And that brings us back to, you know, putting together a piece of furniture from IKEA. If we leave out a step, what happens next is going to be cattywampus. So what happens with our dogs is if we teach them in a way that engages with them every day and behaviors that actions that are sessions that are only 5 minutes long, a couple of times a day, you are going to be setting your dog up to succeed. And we're giving you those methods in our book.
Indeed you are. The book is called For the Love of Dog. It's a fun read, by the way. It's not a difficult read at all, with illustrations that are guaranteed to make you smile. But in addition to all that, you talk about throughout the book two things, I think, greatly: what dogs can do, and also misconceptions that we have. And one of those misconceptions is that we must be dominant over our dogs. Can you talk about that?
Yes, and that is a myth. Dogs, for tens of thousands of years, have worked in concert with humans. We share an evolutionary process together. We are team. It's a symbiotic relationship. So somewhere around the past couple of thousand years, we ended up getting it wrong. When cities became more populated, disease came, and we kind of blamed it on the dog because we didn't know where else to look. So because of these ideologies that we've developed over the past several hundred years, we have considered dogs to not be very smart, which is really doing them a disservice. And we haven't realized their full potential, and we're not taking advantage of their innate gifts that they bring to us every day. So if we can take a little more time and understanding that dogs are very similar to children, you don't want to dominate anyone. That's not the goal of any healthy relationship. So we're hoping that people are going to look more at dogs as team players and children, but children that are vessels to be filled. You know, this is something that I think that we need to shift our ideologies about.
No, I agree. And while dogs can learn via intimidation, it's not the best way to learn. The best way to learn, I think, is when the subject wants to learn. It's kind of that simple.
Well, it is. And it's also when methods are aversive, learning does not happen very rapidly. And you can imagine if you're swimming and you're not doing it well, and somebody's forcing you to dunk your head under the water, that's not going to be a very pleasurable experience. You're not going to want to do it very often. And so part of the goal is, when you're working with your dog, is to find that sweet spot and things that they like to do. Because what happens with any kind of learning, it requires repetition. And no matter what you do in life, whether you're a musician, an artist, so many things, a programmer, you have to repeat things a lot. So the good news is that dogs and children love to repeat play-like behaviors. So if we can use and utilize play in teaching them, we are really setting them up to succeed.
And it's interesting now, not 20 years ago, but now, the dogs that do military work, for example, for the government, dogs that do guard dog work very often, all these dogs are taught with play. And years ago, I remember I was involved in some of this, and I remember at a meeting or some symposium or something, I or someone else brought that up. And we were laughed at, you know, play? What? This is how you do it. This is how we've always done it. Well, today, these dogs are trained with play.
Yes. And you know what's remarkable about play? And even Mark Beckoff did the foreword of my book. And he came up in the 70s. He had been videotaping dogs playing all the time. And he discovered by looking at their behaviors that there were the golden rules of fair play. And those are: ask first, communicate clearly, mind your manners, and admit when you're wrong. So what he witnessed was them snuggling with each other. They would chase and run, jump, roll over each other for no reason other than to have fun. And this was play. Play is a major expenditure of energy, and it can be dangerous for young canines in captivity and in the wild. So the question is, why do they do it? Because not only does play help socialize dogs and provide much-needed exercise, it feels good. It's fun.
Yeah,
and
that's...
play enables them to be in the moment of joy.
Yes, and when people like Dr. Beckhoff do this kind of work, and Dr. Beckhoff is brilliant, but when people do this kind of work, sometimes some people will say, well, that's not what wolves do or whatever. Well, our dogs are not wolves, so forget about that as well. There's so much more in the book, For the Love of Dog. Pilly Bianchi, I have one more question for you. What is, for you, the best, for you, the best thing about dogs?
Oh, God. The best thing about dogs is once you bond with them, their devotion does not wane. It is there unconditionally until the day they die. You know, and this is, again, dogs are not unconditional lovers. It has to be earned. But boy, that is it, man. You know,
yeah,
they're there for the remainder of their lives.
Yeah,
what a gift! What a gift!
Yeah, they're very special. In fact, Dr. Beckhoff's good friend, Dr. Jane Goodall, once told me when I asked her, "What is the most special animal on the planet?" And I will paraphrase her answer, which was something like, "It's certainly not human beings." And certainly not chimpanzees, who she studied, you know, for years and years.
I know.
She said dogs. And then she said, they are very special, aren't they? And indeed, they are. And you capture that in the book, For the Love of Dog. Pilly Bianchi, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Steve. It's always such a joy to speak with you.
Hi, friends. Steve Dale here. Itch, scratch, rub, chew, repeat. Does that sound like your pet? Help is here. Zymox-based skin and ear care products can help calm and soothe your pet's angry skin or red infected ears. For 25 years, Zymox ear drops, topical cream, shampoos, and conditioners have been helping pets find relief. Zymox is available online on Amazon and Chewy, at Petco, PetSmart, and other fine pet retailers, and from local veterinarians.
Billy Bosco is in research and development at Pet King Brands, the makers of Zymox. Congratulations. You are celebrating an anniversary for helping pets, Billy, which is a great thing. I mean, I personally have used your product, so I understand their value. But tell me a little about the history, which I think is really cool, of Pet King Brands, or Zymox in particular.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for the introduction. So, like you said, this is actually our 25th year anniversary. So, and me being on the inside, you know, it's actually a small business affair. My mom started the company 25 years ago out of our basement. So I got to watch it grow over the years. So I may be a little biased in my perspective, but I think we are a true underdog story. And the way it started was we had a German Shepherd who needed ear surgery, and we couldn't afford it at the time. So my mom had a brilliant uncle or brother who was a chemist. And she said, "Hey, I had this problem with my ear. Do you have anything?" So he just happened to be researching enzymes. So he put together a formula, and she said, shipped it to him. And then over the weekend, after applying it, the ear problems simply went away. And that's when she turned to him and said, "Mikey, I think we're onto something." So it went from that. Oh, now over the course of 25 years, of just trying to be an enzymatic-based, non-toxic solution to many ear problems.
Yeah, ear problems, skin coat too, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is important because the most common problem that veterinarians see in dogs are exactly that: skin and coat problems and ear problems. Incredibly common. I don't believe a day goes by without a veterinarian seeing at least a couple of clients or a couple of dogs that have that issue. So, describe the scene for me. Yeah. So you use the product, or your mom did, on your own dog, she says, we're on to something, then what happens in your basement?
I'm sure she wouldn't look at me to talk about that part too much, but we just had a whole operation running out of the basement until she's able to expand in the warehouse. And I have very fond memories of being a kid climbing around that warehouse, probably breaking all kind of regulations in the process. But we watched it grow from that. And she was the one-man army going to all these trade shows, speaking to all these vets, starting with the vets, trying to get through them, saying, hey, these enzymes, we're onto something here. They're non-toxic. They're non-species specific. And they do no harm. So we put this enzyme system in a variety of different applications, you know, for the air, the skin, as well as using it in the mouth for Oratine. So it's just this one enzyme system put across various different products.
Now, you've been doing this, or the company has been doing this for 25 years, and it's a successful product. So you must have received, back in the day, letters, or these days, email, saying, oh, my dog, no one could figure this out. But now you've done that time and time again. Can you give me one example?
You know, my favorite thing to do once a week is I go to Amazon, and we're actually the number one ranked product for ear care in cats and dogs. And I go through the reviews. Whenever I'm feeling any kind of doubt in the business, I go to the Amazon section and I read the reviews. And it seems like every single review, we have over 70,000 reviews, they all say, this changed my life and my dog's life. I was at wit's end with these reoccurring ear infections, because a lot of these ear infections are reoccurring.
Yes.
And they just said, this proved my life. Don't believe me. You have to try it for yourself. So I couldn't give you a specific example, but I just know once a week I'll read through the reviews and I'll see people just in an app saying, this saved my dog's life.
Literally, perhaps. I mean, that's got to make you feel great.
It really does. And especially to see where it's come from, to see how, all the hard work my mom put in growing up. You know, you see the company now, you see it as like a successful business, but you don't see all the years of sacrifice she had to put into getting it to where it is today. So to be a part of the company now and get to uphold that legacy, I like to think I'm looking more of the PR side. So I get to go to these trade shows and speak to these customers and tell them, you truly are supporting a small business who just wants to help you and your dog get better.
Yeah, you've been doing that for 25 years. How can people learn more about Pet King Brands or Zymox, Z-Y-M-O-X in particular?
The best way is to go to our website, Zymox.com, or you can go to our YouTube channel. That would be Pet King Brands on YouTube, to see a whole bunch of videos we have created explaining the difference in between each product, as well as different ads for each product. But those would be the best places to start.
Yeah, and as I said, I've used this stuff myself, and that's why I was so excited when you said, let's begin these podcasts again, or shall I say, better put, Petcast. Thank you so much for all you've done for pets. Billy, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to today's Petcast from Steve Dale, sponsored by Zymox. Veterinarian recommended, pet parent trusted for resolving pets' ear, skin, and oral conditions for over 25 years.